Amen. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
How many of y'all got a Baptist nap? Amen. Yeah. How many of you are lying? I'm going to preach on lying tonight. Chris, you want to calm down? How many of you didn't get up till 10:30? Raise your hand. Luke chapter number 15 tonight. Very, very familiar passage of Scripture tonight. I toyed around with the idea, and I'd have to move about these first four pews. And I'm, do y'all like it when I move you around? Tam said, don't move us. I hate that. I had Tam back there in the back one night. It liked to kill him. He saw every one of y'all picking your nose and clipping your toenails, and it just about drove him crazy. Now, if you're used to sitting back there like Buddy Perry and those folks are, they're used to seeing that. So they're, but Tam's used to being up here and getting spit on. And he don't like being back there and watching all that. Will you listen to me if I don't rearrange you? Or should I go ahead and do what God said? I think we need to do what God said. If you were in the youth choir or about that age, I'm not going to put an age on it, and you'd like to come up here so I can direct the Scriptures to you, would you come back up and fill these pews in? I'm not going to ask y'all to move. If they can fit in here with you, maybe, look, Regina can house 10 of you right there on her pew. I mean, she's got a whole pew. Preach, right there's a good place for you, Preacher Kenny, right beside Brother Chris. I've been trying to find somebody to watch him anyway. Talk to him about sleeping till 10:30 on Sunday morning. Now, I understand as the young people are kind of rearranging their positions and stuff, that those of us that are here, Jan, y'all's kids are raised. But just because your kids are raised, and I'm not going to start preaching, I'm just going to keep talking. But just because your kids are raised does not mean that your end of parental guidance is over with. You've got granddaughters. You've got granddaughters. Some of you have got grandsons. And I'm telling you what, as a grandparent, you can have an impact in their lives. You better believe it. Ryan, did we not have the greatest grandpa that ever walked the face of God's green earth? He was a Ford Blackburn type of person, if you know what I mean. He was just a stately man, honored by all of his grandchildren. Brother Derek, a deacon at his church. A deacon to the point that Grandpa, he rubbed off on me a whole lot in that I tried to do some of the things. I found out I wasn't Grandpa and I couldn't keep it. Grandpa would not buy his groceries at Food Line. Grandpa would not get his groceries at Lowe's. Brother Kenny, because he was a deacon at Center Baptist Church, he took that charge of the church to him seriously as a deacon. And the reason he wouldn't do that's because they sold alcohol. And he wanted to hold himself to a standard because knowing that everybody in that church that had a confidence in him that would have said, we want you to be one of our deacons, he didn't want to let them down. And he sure didn't want to let God down. And now, if you didn't get your groceries or eat where they served the stuff, you wouldn't eat and you wouldn't get groceries. I'm just being honest with you. So I found out real quick I couldn't keep myself to Grandpa's standard, but this, even Jesus ate with sinners. Even Jesus ate with those that drank wine in that they would call him a wine bibber. But he didn't sin. He wasn't in there doing what they were doing, but yet he was a testimony of God's grace while he was there. Now, I brought you young people up here tonight, and I don't know all of your lives, don't know your status, don't know where you're at. Some are still at home. Some are already on your own, have your own place. I know some of you do. Miss Cassandra does. And others may have their own place. And others may be getting ready to get your own place. I've got a daughter that just a few short months from now is going to be on her own. And where's Jake at? Jake, you here tonight? Oh, up here in the front. Boy, y'all took it seriously, didn't you? I like this. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I like this, Brother Tim. Yes. Listen, I'm always going to be your daddy. You're not getting out from under the authority of Reggie and Kathy Goles. Yeah, you're becoming your own man, walking into young adulthood, but they're still going to be your parents. Now, I want you to understand something. I brought you together for a reason tonight. This Scripture is probably as familiar a Scripture, Preacher Kenny, as you'll ever hear in the Scripture. And it's the story of that wayward son. But when God brings it back to me, Jerry, Martha, y'all heard this message somewhere along the line. Or the same Scriptures. I believe it was at Billings Hill whenever I was running revival there. And I preached on this same thought process. And Shirley, honey, if you want to sit with Kenny, if anybody else wants to move around, by all means, you move. I want you to be where you're going to get the most out of this. This charge is to all of us tonight. It's a charge unto me to be a good daddy. It's a charge unto you to be good children. But it's a charge every one of us are responsible back to God. Every one of us. Nobody's out from under that authority. Nobody's out from under that charge. We're going to read our scriptures tonight. I want you to fully understand. I'm not beating up on anybody. And some of you want to know if you got us a good one. And Brother Chris following up with a story that Dr. David Gibbs Jr. told at the men's conference, for those that were at the men's conference, and he had an old a black lady ask him. He was preaching in a black church, and had this old black lady kept asking, "Have you got it, white boy?" Chris come down and said, have you got it, white boy? I said, I guess we'll find out in about 30 seconds. Tam, I believe I've got the message for this hour. It's a familiar scripture, but sometimes, brother, pastor, and preachers, we skip over the familiar scripture because they're so familiar. But boy, there's a message in this for young people tonight if you'll listen to me. Stand all over the house of God. Let's reverence the reading of God's word, and I'll just put my glasses on for the responsible reading of God's word. And let me say this, it's not going to be so much about the son that stayed, and we'll get to him in a minute, but that son that stayed, do you know the difference in the son that left and the son that stayed? Casey, if I was saying, is there a difference between the two of them, what would you say? Is there any difference between the two of them? The only difference I find, preachers, one of them had the stench on the outside, and the other one had the stench on the inside. His heart was wrong from the get-go. Both of them stunk in the eyes and nostrils of Almighty God. But one of them, the stench of that sin of that world was on the exterior. He'd been down in the hog pens of life feeding swine. But the other one stayed right there, just as lost as he could be in his backyard. And when I say lost, you'll see what I'm going with. He was just as wrong in the sight of God in his own backyard. At no time were these two never sons. But yet their hearts were so wrong with God. Let's read it tonight, and we'll just give due time. And listen, folks, it's early tonight. Y'all have got me up here plenty early, and we're going to just responsibly read the Word of God and just go and see what God's got for us. We'll begin the reading in verse number 11 of that 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke's Gospel. And it said, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Brother Tim, ask God to bless us. Anderson, this evening, can I quickly say this to you, kids? I love you, and the Lord loves you. And if anybody in here has got your best interest at heart, it would be your parents. It would be your church family. More, we love each other in here, and I appreciate the love of God in here. And every time something happens to one of our young people, whenever I hear that you've gotten caught up in sin or there's been some kind of a struggle, man, it just breaks my heart. And I have wept over some of you. And I don't know who today might be getting ready to take that journey, the journey of journeys, that would lead you away from God, away from the love of your family, away from the love of that Father, away from the love of your Heavenly Father. I don't know who's about to take that first step. Or maybe you've already taken the first step, and now you're onto the second, the third, or the fourth step. There's a word that we use in the English language. It's in the King James Bible from front to back, and that word is repent. God wants you to repent. He allows repentance. He supports repentance. He endorses repentance. And that repentance is you turning back to Him. It's turning from whatever allures you, whatever it is that draws you, whatever has enticed you, whatever has got your mind fixated on that which is out there that you feel like you now have to try out and have to go after and follow after and dabble in. Let me tell you, God, He loves you, and it's as simple as turning back to Him. Now, I can tell you this, and I'm going to preach it to me, and I'm lecturing a little bit right now. That you see right now that you think is harmless, you better be very, very careful with that, because it's not as harmless as it seems. Sexual perversions, I'm telling you what, in a moment of time, they can take you from where you are right now, and they will never leave you. That memory will never, ever, ever leave you. It'll always be there, because you've only got but one time to save yourself for a husband. You've only got but one time to save yourself for a wife. It may not necessarily be drugs. This thy son hath wasted his substance on riotous living. The other brother put it where it was at. He said he's been down there with harlots. Let me tell you, folks, you can't get that back. And that thing will be with you to the day you leave this world. It's always there. And it might not be some sexual draw. It may not be any kind of a sexual perversion. It may not be that at all. But let me tell you, Preston, nobody ever become a drunkard except that he took his first drink. Nobody ever become a crack addict or a meth addict. Nobody ever become a drug addict or hooked on some kind of prescription painkill except that they took the first pill somewhere along the line. They had to take the first fix. It could have been slipped into their drink. It could have been slipped into their milk. It could have been slipped into their water. It could have been given to them as a piece of candy. They've got this stuff now, and it looks just like candy. And the big thing, Greg's shaking his head, it looks just like gummy bears. And it's got the consistency of gummy bears. But if you eat one of those drugs, Brother Derek, that thing will grab you, and it'll draw you in. And we've got parents in here tonight, bless God, that sons are still in the lockup. They're doing time in federal prison, or they've done in the local tank. They're down here in Raleigh, and they're all over the place. Why? Because Brother Steve, you're having to reach them now, and Brother Larry's having to reach them, and Scott's having to reach them, and you're having to reach them inside the juvenile detention halls in Alexander and Butner and Polk and Kershaw and all these other places. Why? Because they got hooked, and they didn't mean to get hooked. It was just one of those things that happened. That's a sad, sad state of affairs. And all the while, I hear a daddy back there somewhere saying, kid, be careful. Son, be careful. Daughter, be careful. And I'm seeing parental guards and boundaries put up. And let me tell you real quickly, if your daddy or mama puts up a boundary or puts up a barrier and tries their best to help you, bless God, don't go around their boundaries. I've seen daddies, and he'll shut a door all to have a mama come and open the side door and let you out. I've seen a mama shut the door, and a daddy will make an inroad to get around that. Bless God, you parents better stick together. If you're not together, your kids are going to pick the weakness, and they're going to know where to go to get to the weak spot. My kids did it. I did it to my parents, and you'll do it to your parents in the same way. You know why? Because you have a selfish appetite, and that satiate desire to satisfy your flesh is there, and you'll follow that thing, and you'll find your best way to get around it. Did you have a weak parent that you could go to and find? Yeah, you knew how to exploit. You both of them. You wait till your daddy hears that one. You kids know right now, as godly as some of you are, you know how to get around the barriers. Daddy says no. Well, guess what? We'll see what mama says. And if I'm weak at all in my parental guidance as a father, it will be exploited by the younger. If I say, let me pray about it, or let me think about that. You know how that's going to get contorted by the time he gets to mama? And I say, well, let me talk to your mama, or you talk to your mama about it too. And by the time it gets to mama, daddy says it's all right, I just need to talk to you about it. I didn't say it was all right. I said, let me pray about it or think about it and let me talk to mama. But you're welcome to talk to mama about it. But the next thing you know, daddy says it's all right. If it's all right with you. No, it's not okay. Now, the first step in you getting to that point is right there in the first verse. The Bible said that there was a second verse. The Bible says that there was a man that had two sons. Verse number 12 said, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that fall to me. And he divided unto him his living. You said, what's that first part, preacher? Become selfish. Can I tell y'all something? This world does not revolve around you.
Right.
We've got a mentality now that the kids rule the roost. And we've got kids that are going to soon be law writers and deal makers and deal breakers. And it does not revolve around your generation. It doesn't. And in that child's heart, when he goes to daddy and says, Daddy, I want my inheritance. Brent, you're a strapping young man that knows pretty much the score. What does it mean when you get your inheritance? What does that generally mean in society as it stands? What does that mean for you to get your inheritance? But what does that mean has to happen to daddy? You now you know. Is Buddy Perry back there tonight? What does that have to happen? For there to be an inheritance given, what generally has to happen is there has to, yes, somebody's got to die. And for that young son to say, Father, give me my inheritance, and I want it right now. What he's saying is I don't want the pecking order to be there, as it was with Jacob and Esau. He said, I don't want to wait till my daddy dies. I want my inheritance, and I want it right now. And Brother Derek, Esau can steal the birthright. Jacob can steal the birthright of Esau, but that thing was going to be handed down exactly the way God had ordained it and ordered it, and it would have been in this story. But that son got self-centered. He got all about me and mine, and he said, Daddy, I want it, and I want it now. Well, guess what? The father obliged. Brother Kenny, God will give us. You better believe he'll give it to us. You said, I don't believe that. Read for yourself the 106th division of Psalm. The Bible said that they praised God and they loved God and then they lusted in the wilderness. And then, brother, God saw them and he gave them. The Bible said he sent leanness into their souls and gave them their request. Brother, did he not also do the same thing when they said, we want some flesh? All we have is this manna. We're getting sick of this manna. Brother, you know what manna represented in the Bible? Brother Derek, according to John chapter 6, Jesus said that as your fathers ate manna, he said, I am that bread. And when you're saying that I'm sick of manna, you're saying I'm sick of God. Because Jesus said, I am that bread. To say that now is to say I'm sick of God. So give me something. God sent them quail, did he not? Tim, did they not just get quail? They got it up to about right here. He gave it to them till it come out their nostrils. He made them sick on quail. You better be careful what you ask for. So in this whole message tonight, we start off with this. The first step away from the love of the Father is because you become self-centered, self-absorbed, selfish in nature, egotistical, thinking it's all about me and mine. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer Solomon writes out in chapter number three, if you would turn there just very quickly with me, I'll show you a few things. It quickly becomes about I. And if it ever becomes about I, let me tell you what's getting ready to happen. You're getting ready to be sorely, sorely disappointed. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. This church was not founded upon me, my precepts, my beliefs, my faith. It was not, Brother Steve, it was here before I got here. And if God calls me home, Brother Derek, this church is healthy, spiritually speaking, and it'll be here long after I'm gone. This thing was built upon the precepts of God. And this is God's church. It's not about me. But if I start thinking it's about me, guess what? This thing gonna get messed up in a hurry. Third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, just very quickly, I want you to see what happens, then I'm going to bring you right back to chapter 15 of the book of Luke. I'm sorry, I told you chapter 3, it's chapter 2 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2, verse number 1 says, I, that's how it starts out, I said in mine heart. Look at verse number 2, I will prove. Go all the way down through the verse number 3. I saw it in mine heart. Verse number 4 says, I make great works. Listen, I'm going down the line. I planted vineyards. I built houses. I made gardens. I planted trees. Verse number 6, I made pools. Verse number 7, I got servants. Verse number 7, I got maidens. Verse number 8, I had great provision. Verse number 8, I gathered together. Verse number, middle part of that, I got me men singers. I got me women singers. And verse number 9 says, so I was great. And I increased with more than were all ever before me, with all wisdom remained with me. And then look at verse number 11. He said, and then I looked upon the works of my hands that had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under them. In chapter number 15 of that same passage of Luke where we're at, this son says, Father, give to me the portion of goods that comes to me. It's about me. Give me my stuff. Give me my inheritance, and I want it now. Whenever we demand from the Father, we're getting ready to mess up. You kids in here are unique in that most of you have a very stable environment. Now, I understand that we pick up some and we bring some in that is not so. And Brother Justin and Brother Robbie and some of them have really dealt with that. It's been hard. I've seen tears flowing off of Robbie and off of Tammy and off of Justin, off of Lindsay's face whenever they can no longer pick up that child because there's been a separation in the home. There's been a violence order. There's been this. There's been that. And I'm telling you what, when those kids get troubled, it troubles them. And it troubles them. Why? Because that's their passion. That's their heart. They love them kids. You kids are unique in that most of you have a stable environment. Duncan and Grayson, I hope y'all always know you got a mom and daddy that love you. I hope that you always realize that I know that God is there. Miss Allie, I know that, honey, you lost your mother, but you've got a daddy that's as strong as an ox. He's as strong as a bull, probably as bullheaded. I don't live with him. But let me tell you, that man loves you. He loves you, and he would give his life today for you if that was required. Take note, Casey. He would kill you. Probably with his bare hands and not think twice about it. But you have a unique opportunity to learn about God. Stay in there. Stay close to God. And listen to me. God will give you. The Father will give you. Your Father will give you. Your earthly Father and your heavenly Father will give you what you need. And in due time, you will reap the reward of everything else. If you'll just stay in there. But it's not about you, Preston. Don't become self-centered. Don't become self-absorbed thinking it's all about you. Love, love, love your parents. You've only got one set of them. Parents, let's be parents for a minute. That daddy knew that the kid was leaving. Am I right or wrong? Do you think he knew what was going on? You better believe he did. And just as soon as he walked away, you know what he said to the servants, Brother Derek? He said, hey, you two go down there, and I want you to pick out the calf that's in that field. Not the one with the gimpy leg, not the one with the blemish. He said, I want you to find me a good, sturdy one. I want you to find me a good one. And brother, I want it to be from the best stock in my herd. And when you get that thing, you take that thing down to the barn. And when you get that thing down to the barn, I want you to put it in there. And I don't want you just to give it hay, Brother Tam. When you get to that point of feeding the animals, you give out your hay. You throw it all out. You throw out your scratch feed to the chickens. But bless God, when you get to that calf, I want you to do me this favor. I want you to take the sweet feed, that's been cooked out of molasses and rolled into sweetness of its flavor, and those sorghum molasses. And I want those oats and the barley and the hay. I want you to give that food to that calf. Because that's the calf that we have dedicated and put up for this, my son, that just got out of here. Why would he do that, Tim? Because he knows that son will come back. He has that in his heart that son will be back. And when he comes back, I'm not going to condemn him for coming back. I'm going to love him when he comes back. I'm going to give him a coat when he comes back. I'm going to give him some good shoes when he comes back. I'm going to give him the proper cloak when he comes back. I'm going to get a ring of reconciliation when he comes back. And you know what else we're going to do? We're going to kill that calf. And we're all going to feast because he's coming back. Now, you kids could hole up in your room. Y'all got a room? Most of y'all share a room. You got a room? You got your own room? You got your own room, or do y'all share one? It's your room. What happens when he comes in your room? Bad day? Bad day for him, ain't it? You know it's a bad day when you go in his room. Do you share a room with Hope, or you got your own room? Yeah, it's a bad day when Hope comes in there, isn't it? Yeah, it's a bad day. But see, today, kids think that they're okay when they become isolationist. They are. They think that it's okay when they become isolationist. I tell you what, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You don't know. You were a teenager 30 years ago. You don't understand what I deal with. And because of that, I'm going to go in my little room of isolation. I'm just going to shut the door, and that's where you'll find me. What are they doing in there? What are they doing in there? Well, they're watching TV. They're playing games. They're on the computer. They're doing this. They're reading. They're doing this. What they're not doing, I'm not talking about what they're doing. What they're not doing is they're not getting instruction from a parent when they're in there. They're not hearing from mama. They're not hearing daddy over here all the time saying, listen, son, I want to tell you something for your good. They don't hear mama over here, honey, you better be careful with that. I don't mess with it. But let me tell you, God, the Father has got all of our best interests at heart, the same as I, the Father, would have the best interest for her. God's got it for all of us. He wants to bless you, Brother Tam. He has prospered you. He's prospered all of us beyond our expectation. Brother, does he not say it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? That's what he says. He loves us. Brother, he's got a fatted calf somewhere put up right now, and one day there's going to be a banqueting table set, and we're invited to the marriage supper. And bless God, the Bible said that he himself will gird himself, and he's going to serve us up. Tim, don't tell me that God doesn't love us. He does love us. If I think I titled this the last time that I preached it, just a few steps from the hog pen. And that's what we are. And that first step toward the hog pen is whenever you become selfish, thinking it's all about me, all about mine. You said, preacher, why are you just preaching to the hog pen, to the kids? Brother, we're all one step from the hog pen. One step leads you to one step further, one step further, one step further. Next thing you know, how many of you have ever heard that little thing Lindsay sang it in a song a while ago that it's cliche to say? It's cliche to say that sin will cost you more than you're willing to pay. Y'all have heard that your whole lives. It'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. It'll keep you longer than you were willing to stay. And what else? What's the third element of that? What? Who? It's going to cost you more than you wanted to pay. It's going to cost you. It's going to keep you. You're going to be there longer. Brother Derek, let me tell you. And it all started with one step. Just one little step. That's the first step toward the hog pen, is becoming selfish in our desires, self-centered, absorbed with the idea that it's all about us. Daddy, mama don't matter anymore. It's all about me. It's I. You saw what Solomon said. He said, I looked at it, and then I just seen what it was. It was vexation of spirit. Man, it didn't matter at the end of the day. I looked at it, and there it was, everything that I'd gained. It just took me away from God. Going right back into our scriptures tonight. The latter part of 13 says, in verse number 12 was the first step. He said, he demanded to his father to give him. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The second part of that is this. He separated himself from the love of his father. When you separate yourself from the love of your parents and your father, your heavenly father, your earthly father, you're starting to end up in a mess. You say, well, what's really big about that? I have to grow up. I have to put a little distance between me and my parents. There's a difference in putting distance between them and then demanding from them your inheritance and then going towards sin. There's a difference in that. And bless God, whenever you start to separate yourself, you say, I'm still in full control, preacher. You don't know me. I'm a strong man. I'm full control. You tell me, and I'll tell you how easy it is, Brother Charles. When you miss a service, it's very easy to miss the next one. It's hard to miss a service, Brother Tatum. It really is. You don't want to leave, but you got sickness or something, brother. You know good way you don't want to take it down there and give it to everybody, and it's hard to miss that one. I don't want to stay home, or I don't want to call the service off because of weather, but no. When I need to. Brother Kenny, when you stay out the first one, you know what the easier? It's the second one. And you know what's easier than the second one? The third one. Your next thing you know, where's old so-and-so at? I ain't seen them in a long time. Brother Tam, it's a problem, but it started with a step. If I preached about four steps to the hog pen, the first step is become self-absorbed, self-centered, and egotistical, thinking it's all about you. And the second one is whenever you start to separate from that parental authority. Or from your father. It's going to cost you. But I know better than he does. He didn't get where he's at by being foolish. We didn't get where we're at, Ryan. With all the scars that we've got on us, we didn't get here by being dumb. Oh, we learned the hard way. But why is it the next generation? Where's my other men, daddy's back there? Brother Brian, how come the next generation always has to make the same mistakes we made? I don't understand that. We seem that we have to go down that road to experience it for ourselves, and I don't understand that. Why do we do that? We're warned about it and warned about it. And listen, it's not unique to us. Billy Graham, as good a man he was, he had a rebel. Have you ever heard the book, Rebel with a Cause? What was that about? About Franklin Graham's journey away from the love of the Father and ended up on honky-tonks and motorcycles and wild women. But bless God, he come back. But it started with a step. The first step was becoming self-centered. The second step was separating from the love of the Father. Young people, listen to me tonight. Nobody cares for you like the Father. Nobody cares for you like your parents does. And like I said earlier, you hole up in your room and you rebel and you resist authority. You run away. You do all those things. Let me tell you, mom and daddy's back home praying for you. You can keep running, but I'm going to tell you where you're going to end up. You're going to end up in a hog pen. Y'all ever seen hog pens? Y'all, did anybody here ever have pigs? Oh, we got a lot of hog farmers in here. Brother Paul, that was something to do, wasn't it? Oh, love that stuff. Tam, that's probably the nastiest. And I'm surprised even now that we eat the pork that we do, the bacon, the pork chops. Man, I love pork chops. I'm telling you, how come if you raised yourself around them things, Sam, I'm surprised we eat them. They're nasty. The stench is awful on them things. But kids, that's where you're headed, toward a vile-smelling, putrefying mess that this world can get you into. And Brother Chris, you're just a step away. Yeah, right now, you big brawny preacher, dedicated to the cross, sold out unto Jesus. But do you realize in a moment of time, your testimony and everything you ever stood for could be gone just like that? You better believe it could. You pastored for 36 plus years. Do you realize how fast your testimony could be gone just like that? Put a question mark around everybody that ever got saved under your ministry. Said, I thought he was a real deal. Now look at him. You know how far you'd have to go? One step. I'm telling you, my friends, this is a stand-up message of honesty to us all tonight. We're just a step or two away from the hog pen. Parents, how many times have you had to say no? How many times have you had to count to 10? How many times have you had to put them in the corner, give them in time out or whatever? Mom never could count, could she, Ryan? What'd she get to, 2? She got to about 2. Next thing you know, your ears were ringing. Now, a lot of people, they wouldn't hit your kids in the face. Mama spin your head like a lid on a pickle jar. I'm not lying, Brother Kenny. She just rang your bell. I know. I've been there. I got a witness now. Did we not have to cut our own limb by Wednesday because Dad was going to be off on the weekend? We're going to get it when he got off. No matter what, we's all going to get one. And that's like a spank account. When you do it ahead of time, you're going to lay one up for the weekend. Might as well do something. You're going to get one anyway. You're going to get whipped for it. Let's hit him in the head with a cap pistol or something. Knock out his tooth. Y'all ever heard that story about me knocking out my little brother's tooth? Raise your hand if you ever heard that story. He's over here. Bless his heart. He said it was a baby tooth. It was coming out anyway. I love him. It was a baby tooth. Help me pull it. I hope you've forgiven me. I hope you have forgiven me. Lord, help us all. I sit there the other night. Mama was sick, and Ryan and I were sitting there talking to Mom. And she's going over all the things that we should do, all the things we don't do. After she chewed us out real good for a few minutes, she kind of softened up a little bit around the edge, didn't she? And then I started to talk to her, and I said, Mom, you can be thankful for this one thing. All your boys are saved, and you had a hand in it. She softened up a little bit then, because she was pretty hard right to start. You do for everybody else, but you don't never do for me. You go see everybody else, you don't ever come see me. And then, of course, I make excuses. Mom, I'm busy and all this, but let me tell you, nobody loves you like your mama. Nobody loves you like your daddy. Nobody loves you like your parents, and nobody loves us like God does. Folks, we're just a step away from the hog pen. Keep reading on down through that latter part of that 13th verse. It said that he wasted his substance with riotous living. You say, what's, is that a step, preacher? You better believe it's a step. It's a step in the wrong direction. When you become sensual in your desires, you then start to dabble in that and deal in that that it pleases and appeases the flesh. And whenever you start satisfying your flesh, you are going contrary to what God designed because of this. Now, he's got marriage for that. He's got marriage set aside for that, for a man and woman to come together. And that's the way God ordained it. But whenever you get outside of those bonds of holy matrimony and you get side, you start chasing these sensual desires, you're getting ready to mess up. I'm telling you, you're getting ready to mess up. And those sensual desires, it'll cost you. It will harm you. I can't preach it enough. It will cost you. And you can't get that back. When you become sensual in your desires, you're all about the flesh. And the Bible says if you're about the flesh, then you're not about God. Because the spiritual Kenny and the earthly Kenny, that spiritual Kenny and the earthly Kenny, the fleshly Kenny and the spiritual man, they're at war one with another. There's a constant enmity between these two. And they're constantly battling. Tim wants to do this. The Spirit's saying, don't do that. Bless God, the one you feed is the one that wins. Feed the inner man, the spiritual man, and he'll win out over that fleshly man. He'll win every time. But if you start giving into those desires of sensualism and those things that appease the flesh, I'm telling you, my friends, the flesh is weak. It is. It's weak. Paul said that he couldn't do anything with it. He said, who can deliver me from this body? He said, that I would do, I don't. And that I shouldn't do, that's what I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. You know why? Because he stepped close to the hog pen. Our flesh isn't saved, my friends. Our soul is. You better feed that inner man, that spiritual man. Read your Bible. Surround yourself with good people. Have a good friend. Don't have a friend like... Bible said Amnon had a friend, and his name was Jonadab, and he was a wicked, wicked boy. Amnon fell a lusting for his sister, or his half-sister, Tamar. And he told his old friend about that. And what did he say? Act like you're sick. Your daddy's the king. He'll send her in here with some victuals. Next thing you know, you can have your way with her. What do? He took that friend's advice. A good friend would have said, are you sick? That's your half-sister. You've got sensual desires that are going to cost you. They're going to harm you. They're going to harm your sister. They're going to harm the kingdom. They're going to hurt your daddy. But ultimately, all of it was directed against God. You know how I can prove that? Because in the 51st division of Psalms, the Bible said that the Lord, David was crying out unto the Lord. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He realized where the sin was at. But that sin come into David's household, and it just never left. The sword never departed from his house. Romans chapter number 13, verse number 14 says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If it's causing you problems, get away from it. I heard preacher Kenny Baldwin preach, and he said, it was at a Carolina youth conference. He was preaching to probably 3,000 young people. He said, some of you just need to break up. Just need to break up. That's the only way you're going to get out from under that. Because you see the little boy trying something, the little girl saying no. My mom and daddy said no, and my God says no, and I say no. And that little boy says, Starts pouting, trying to shame her. And you know I'm telling you the truth. Next thing you know, well, I ain't picking you up next week. Well, good. I hope you never come back around. That stuff goes on more than you think. Parents, we were born at night, but it wasn't last night. We know what goes on. We were young. We had the passions. We had these sensual desires the same as everybody else. This is that riotous, this boisterous, this large living. And I can only imagine how it's gotten since I was that type of a young person. Inundated with all these desires and everything that comes our ways. I'm telling you what, I'm glad God saved me at a young age. I was 13 years old when God saved me, but I didn't say I was perfect. I say I still, Brother Tam, I still got way too close to the hog pens. I still got too close to that mess, Brother Tim, that if it hadn't been for God cleaning me up and just satisfying himself in me, I wouldn't be standing here before you. How can you preach? How can you teach? How can you do anything when you got a stench on you of the world? I'm telling you what, God's gracious to us, my friends. I thank God he's forgiving. I thank God for just mercy and grace and long-suffering toward us. So that was your third step toward the hog pen. I give you the first one. I said you become selfish, self-centered, or egotistical. The second, I said the next step was becoming separated from the love of the Father. The third step was to become sensual in your deeds and actions. The fourth one, we're down here in the Scriptures. Look on down through me. The Bible said, when he had spent all, verse number 14, that there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Right before the hog pen. He ain't there yet, but he's getting ready, ain't he, brother? He's almost there, ain't he, Kenny? Right before the hog pen, you know what happens? You get stricken with poverty. You're so far from daddy. You're so far from love. You're separated now. You might as well be a leper in your own little leper colony of one. That's where you're at. You're an outcast. You're unclean. And right before you step off into the hog pen, you get to that point, you're poverty stricken. The Bible said that he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave them to him to eat. That's pretty stricken. Have you ever seen somebody, if I could show it on the big screen tonight, I would. They take you beautiful kids and they'll show 5 years after drugs. They'll put that picture up there, and I'm telling you what, she could be the cover of any newspaper, any magazine. I'm telling you, Brother Tam, look like a beauty queen. I mean, just gorgeous. He could be the cover. He could be on the front page of an Army recruiting poster. Chiseled jaw, strong-looking man. I'm talking about Brother Derek. He looks like somebody. And then 5 years later, you see him, his face is all pitted up, pocked up. He don't have any teeth. And the next thing you know, the battle scars of drugs and that sensual nature has took him to that place. He's stricken. He's smitten by the mess that he got into. And you know what he is when he's right there, brother? He's just one step now from the mess. And sometimes, I'm sad to say, kids, sometimes you just got to get right into the muck. You've got to get right in knee-deep of the hog mess before you'll ever finally say, that's enough of this. That's where most of them have to finally get, rock bottom. This young kid got there, about 17-year-old boy. He gets into the hog pen, Brother Chad. And ain't no doubt in my mind, he looks around. He can hear the hogs. The stench of the fecal matter and the manure and all that's all around him. And he's trying his best to just not think about what he had and just make it day to day. Ain't that the way most of them are? They get to that point. But then where... Brother Tim, way back in the recess of his mind, he started thinking about something from a long time ago. Because whenever I said, Father, give to me that portion of goods that comes to me, I can almost imagine the conversation whenever Daddy said, Son, I love you. You don't have to do this. I mean, I'm an old man already, and as it goes, I probably won't live too much longer anyway. And you know, you and your brother are going to get to split the whole thing, and y'all both, there's ample opportunity for you to both to live right here. You got herds to tend, and you've got servants to do the work. Just stay here with your brother. Ain't no doubt in my mind. He said, son, you don't have to go this way. And I can almost hear Brother Charles. I can almost hear our dear Savior saying, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to go down that path. But there, that son, in the back of his mind, he starts thinking about Father's house. Listen, I wouldn't take y'all into a hog pen and leave you down there. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? That'd be awful if I drew you a picture of you leaving one step by step through sensual desires and selfish nature, separation from your father, stricken by the drugs and the mess and the sexual sins and everything. It'd be awful if I took you out there to a hog pen and said, okay, church, we're done for tonight, church. Y'all go home. Brother, that'd be awful. I'm not going to leave you in a hog pen. I wouldn't dare do that. Because you know, while that son's in the hog pen, the Bible said he came to himself. Have y'all seen that in there? Read that for me. I don't even know what verse it is. 17, somebody said, Brother Jake or somebody up here said, that was about verse number 17. And the Bible said, and when he came to himself, Brother Kenny, aren't you glad that one day, preacher, bless God, you came to yourself and you said, I've had enough of this life. I've had enough of this sin. I've had enough of this mess. And bless God, I know that there's a place somewhere. And bless God, my Heavenly Father's there and he's got it all. And bless God, he's not forgot me. And I know if I can get out of this muck and mess, I will arise and I will go to the Father. But you can sit and say that all night long. You can sit and say that after the cows come home. It's not going to do you any good until you get down to this other part where it says, verse number 20. You can sit all day long and say, I will arise. That sounds good. I made up my mind. I will arise. Can y'all see that? I'm sitting here. I'm down and out. I'm desperate. Brother, I'm hungry. I'm stricken. I'm smitten. I'm stinking. I'm in the hog pen of life. And I'm sitting there. And I remember, boy, my daddy used to have some feast. Them servants used to go out there and they would slay one of those four-footed beasts. And they would bring that fatling of a calf in there, man. I'm sitting here in this mess, and I remember how it smelled. That roast was good. Man, Daddy would throw in a few herbs, and he'd put some of that rub on there, and I'm telling you what, that's about to overtake me just sitting here. He said, I know what I will do. I'll rise. Brother, a week later, I could still be sitting there in that mess. I said, I know what I'll do. I'll rise. How many years would you say that? Verse number 20, the Bible said that he arose. It's time that you stop thinking about it and start doing it. Arise, get out of that mess. Get up and go back to the Father. The Bible said in verse number 20 that he arose, and then the Bible said that he came to his Father, but when he was afar off, when he was a great way off, our Brother Kenny, when he was still yet on his way, the Father saw him.
Amen.
Why? How? Why? Because he was looking for him. I can't imagine any one of you young children today doing what this child did and your mom and daddy not every night. Flipping the porch light on. Cindy, honey, did you leave the light on? This could be the night she comes back. Did you leave the light on, honey? Just the other night, Macy was out a little bit later. I think we were just worn out. We had been to Winston hospitals everywhere. We're tired. We don't have to worry about young Jake keeping her out too late. He usually goes to bed about, what, 9? When he comes to the house, he's usually asleep by 9. He's in my recliner and he's asleep. And just let him sleep. Am I telling the truth? I'm not lying to y'all. But the other night, you had her out about 10:15. That's late for them. 10:15, 10:30, I'm telling you, I'm getting worried now. But Miss Cindy said, I think I'll go on and lay down. I was sitting watching Shark Tank, and I know y'all don't watch Shark Tank, but I've invented so many things. If I could just get on there. I was watching Shark Tank, and Cindy said, I'm going to go lay down. She said, I've left the door unlocked. Now, Tam, who in the right mind in 2018 will leave the door unlocked? Right? She said, I've left the door unlocked. Macy will be home shortly. I can imagine, preacher, that the father, I don't know when he did it, if it was morning. I have a feeling it was probably toward the sunset. I don't know. Maybe he got up early every morning. And I can see him, preacher. Maybe he had an old split rail fence out there. And I can see daddy going out there and maybe just propping up on his fence. Brother Calvin, he's got a little distant hill over yonder. And that's the distant hill that the son went over whenever he left. And he's thinking in his mind, if he went over that hill, that's probably the same hill he'll come back over. Because that path that led him away from here is going to be the path that he takes to get back. So, Brother Calvin, I can almost see daddy out there propped up on that fence. Maybe more times than one a day. Maybe he got up very early in the morning, Brother Kenny. And I think he probably looked, and I think before he went to bed that last time of the night, I believe, Brother Kenny, that he went out there one last time. And I believe he's looking for just the faintest glitter, maybe a lantern glow, maybe the glow of a little candle, maybe this little oil lamp that he would have that son would use to get back through the darkness, because he knew where daddy was at. He knew where the home was at. And I believe that daddy one last time went out there and looked and said, well, he's not back tonight. I'll get up early in the morning. It can't be much longer. And I wonder if you daddies and mamas, if you've got that much energy to keep watching and waiting for your kids, and you've got that much faith and believe that they're coming back. Oh, they're coming back. I don't know when, but they're coming back. And I wonder how many of you kids are going to sit out there and say, I will arise, but yet you sit there. I will arise, but yet you sit there. I wonder when you'll finally say, I'm rising today. And then you get up. I can only imagine that the first step is the hardest to take. Y'all ever have a squabble? I don't know why I'm using y'all. Y'all ever have a squabble? Oh yeah, you do. We do. You do. Brother Tim, once in a while, you just got to break down and say, Sam, I'm sorry. I'll have to come to Cindy and I'll say, Cindy, I'm sorry. The other night I had to apologize to my own daughter. I did, and I'm not above that. I said, Macy, I'm sorry. Let me tell you, the first step's the hard one. But if you'll take that one, I'm sure that the rest of them's going to be just a little bit easier. Yeah. I'm sure that your daughter disappointed you. I'm sure that your son has made disappointments. I'm sure that, Derek, you disappointed your parents. I've sure disappointed mine. And I'm sure that, bless God, in time, we'll all disappoint God. We will. We will disappoint God. But can't you see God in all of his omnipotence? He's all-knowing. Looking at him. Is today the day that Chris comes back to me? Is today the day that he comes back? See, he's all-knowing, but he's looking, Chris. You say, well, if he's looking, why do you say this? He's looking. Did he know where Adam was at? Huh? Then why did he say, Adam, where are you? Did he lose him? No, he wanted Adam to know. That's the difference. He ain't lost you. He knows where you at. He said, I wonder if he's going to come back today. Chris, are you ever going to come back? Mark, are you ever going to come back to me? Listen, you won't come back until you realize where you're at. Kids, it's important. Macy, I don't care if you're standing, if Jake, if you're standing here at the altar at 1:59 on October the 20th, and you're already here, you and I and your daddy have come out of that side door. Well, it won't be me. I'm going to bring her down the aisle. But you're standing up here. I believe you've asked Brother Larry Key. Is that right? Brother Larry Key is going to open the service. I'm going to give your whole wedding away before it's over with. I don't care if Larry Key's standing there saying, all rise. And you're standing right there beside Reggie Golds. If she's not the one for you, you better call that thing off. I don't care if me and you're standing back here between the double doors getting ready to come down the aisle going, woo-hoo-hoo. If he's not the one for you, when you peek through them doors and everybody's standing, you better say, he's not the right one. You know what we can do? We can all, the food's down there. We can all still go eat. We'll have a feast and I'll be merry. No. Why are you saying that, preacher? Because a lifetime is a long time to spend with the wrong one. And I believe it's a life commitment. A lifetime's a long, long time to be wrong. Husbands and wives that love each other. And I do. We do. Listen, for those that's been married a year, don't give me marital advice. I don't need it. I've been married 30 years. I'll give you some. It's hard enough when you love each other. It's hard to parent. It's hard. It's give and take. She gives and I take. It's hard enough, but I can only imagine doing it with the wrong one. But we're staying together because that's what God said to do. That'd be awful. But you kids can make it a whole lot easier by being obedient. Obey your parents. Do you realize that that's the first commandment with promise? That's what the Bible says. They're up there and they say these things, but there's one that's got something attached to it. It says, honor your father and mother. What's the promise? That thy days may be long upon the earth. There's a promise attached to that one. The other ones don't come with a promise. It's a mandate from God Almighty. The Bible teaches us as parents to provoke not your children unto wrath. Don't ride them and nitpick them over every scroungy little thing. Let them be kids. Don't make them become young adults before they're supposed to be young adults. Let them be kids as long as they want to be kids. Kids today are adults at 12. Experiencing life at 14. Having babies at 15 or younger. Let them be kids. But be their parents. You've got your own sets of friends. Your mom and daddy don't have to be your friend. If your daddy buys a Hollister jacket every time he has to get you one, you need a new daddy. No, you don't. You need a new jacket. I don't wear Abercrombie and stuff just because I buy her something. I don't mean I have to be one because I can be like her. I'm not her best friend. I'll mark you. I'm not her best friend. I'm her best friend, but I'm not her best friend. I'm not. Were you Lisa's best friend? No, you were her daddy. Too many today are not parents. They're friends. They got enough friends. You need to be a parent. Tonight, I told you I wouldn't take you down to the hog pen and leave you. I'll leave you with this. The road back, I can't keep up with them glasses tonight, and I can't see without them. My eyesight's gotten a lot worse than it ever was. I even brought my other ones, the ones the VA gave me. They've been stuck in that bag with my hearing aids for the last year. They were stuck in there with that CPAP that I never use. Lord help me if I ever need a prosthetic leg or something. I'm telling you the truth. The Bible said that the Father said to His servants, bring forth the best robe. Like I said, I wouldn't take you to the hog pen and leave you down there. Just come to your senses, kids. Arise, as it says in verse number 20, and run back to you. I wouldn't walk back to Him. I wouldn't. If I had energy, I wouldn't walk back to Daddy. I'd run. As we stand tonight all over the church, yes, I'd run to this altar. I'd run so fast it'd make your head spin. You saw me run out of here this morning. That's about how fast I'd come to the altar if I needed something from my Father tonight. And let me tell you, your Heavenly Father knows all. Sometimes the kids think Mom and Daddy doesn't know anything. You ever notice that? The kids think Mom and Daddy don't know anything. Long about 18, I knew everything. Daddy didn't know nothing. That's the truth. I did. I knew. If you didn't believe me at the age of 18, Sam, you asked me, I told you. I know it all. Older I got, the more I learned, I didn't know anything. Dad knew everything. That's funny how times turned. We'd do good to pull up with our parents. Get a little gleaning from them. You'd do good to sit down and talk to your daddy. I'd do good to sit down and talk to mine. But we would all do well, Brother Kenny, to sit at the feet of Jesus and just talk to Him. Read more about Him. You want to know more about somebody? Spend a little time with them. You really want to get intimate with them and know them? Read about them. Get their autobiography. There's an autobiography about God, written by Him, for Him, about Him. It's all right there. You want to know more about Him? Read His book. You want to know more about Billy Graham? Read about a book about Billy Graham. You want to know about God? Read your Bible. It'll tell you everything you want to know about God. His characters, His characteristics, His traits, His love, His mannerisms, what He loves, what He hates, all of His passions, they're all in this book. It'd do us well to know more about the Father. And listen, this altar's empty. God didn't send this message. Kenny, it's not a typical message. You've been back for 6 months already. You've not heard me preach anything quite like that. But here it is. And I'll tell you this, it's not for naught or for nothing. What have you got, Brother Scott?